Now, the last time we checked in with University of Hawaii Economic Research Organization, Hawaii's economic outlook was a fairly even picture. No great highs or lows. Construction was getting a stimulus. And the number of permits pulled indicated it might stay that way. Tourism was chugging along and starting, though, to top out. The forecast was for slow and steady progress with minimal growth. Nice, but at the same time, not exactly optimal. The latest Hawaii forecast came out today. UHERO director Carl Bonham came into the studio in advance of whatever rain there might be to talk about the difference between where we were last time and today's report.
We actually have about 4 months of additional data since last time we spoke, and tourism's doing okay. We're at record levels of visitor arrivals, and we're pretty close to record levels of real visitor spending, but there's just not much room for any growth. There's not a lot of growth happening. We think we're going to have slow growth there, and kind of the new information is that through the first half of 2014, the official statistics tell us there's been basically no growth at all in construction jobs, and that total non-farm jobs in the state has only grown a little over 1%. Our forecast was only 1.4, but we'd rather have 1.4 than 1. So it's pretty much a similar picture to what we were talking about three months ago. But not quite as good as what we were expecting then. And it's mostly in the construction sector.
That 4 months worth of data makes a difference, because even though you talked only 3 months ago, you only had some preliminary data from the beginning of the year. But now we've got a lot more, and a much larger arc has emerged about what that really looks like when you say that we're topping out with tourism. Not a lot happening with construction that already wasn't kind of already there and happening. No real growth there. Do we really need to have a top-off conversation with the state to change some of our expectations?
Well, I think that those expectations are changing. I generally assume that people see this. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm talking about it, and other economists are talking about it, and we see it in the news with the decline in revenues for last year, which certainly wasn't all economic. A lot of that was also just pure statistical and moving of money around. But I think people are probably fairly aware that the economy is not booming, and that the prospects for strong growth are not that good. The other factor, of course, that is playing here is last year we saw a large drop in federal government employment. The good news is that the rate of decline is slowing. The only major sector of employment that declined through the first half of this year was federal government, and so that's a good thing. We're seeing broader growth. That would be or widespread growth. It's just not very fast, but that's. That's really important, is that widespread, even if it's slow, steady growth.
Slow and steady is pretty good.
Slow and steady is good if it's widespread and it's kind of affecting most people, because those people are going out and spending money, and it contributes to overall growth. The risk that we see, or the problem that one of the problems we're pointing to, is that, look, when you're only growing these slow rates, it doesn't take that much to turn those slow rates into negative rates or zero, right? So if you're only adding jobs at 1% a year, it doesn't take much of a shock. And if you look around the world, there's plenty of shocks going on. There's plenty of risky situations, geopolitical, everything from the Ukraine to, the entire Middle East is just a mess. And of course, you've got the natural events. Over the last few years, most of the risk has really been man-made. It's been how bad can policy get,
But now we have the confluence of that, and natural impacts
right.
and people getting scared, and that seems to travel, you know, pretty quickly, again reminding us how connected we are to the rest of the world, even though we think it sometimes we are so very isolated.
Oh, we're definitely not isolated. We are very, very connected, and you know, it wouldn't take, you know, much of a disruption in air travel internationally, whether it's because of terrorism or outbreaks of disease or we're very connected, and you know, our primary industry is extremely connected.
As we move into the last half of the year, we're already into the last half of the year, some of these impacts that you just talked about obviously are going to continue without very clear destination points. We really don't know what's going to happen. And we also now, as we are talking, everyone is dealing with the storm and what may happen after that. But lest anybody think, oh, well, you know, if there is severe damage, that's going to give us a nice little shot in the arm. Well, that's a blip. That's not going to be something that you would even look at, would you?
Well, it's very short term. You know, assuming that we don't have major damage to infrastructure, then the economy will continue as largely as normal. It won't have disruption at the airports, or you know, long term disruption of the airports or in visitor accommodations or roads, or you know, we don't have landslides that destroy roads, and the economy will continue as normal, and we'll get this short term blip in spending, you know, some of which will be financed by borrowing, some of which will be financed by disaster relief, and so you can get a very short-term stimulus, you know, assuming that these storms don't strengthen or you know, aren't stronger than we're expected, then that's going to be a fairly small increase. You may very well see it in excise tax collections in the data for August. It's very, very possible that we'll see that. You know, one of the interesting things, I've been watching the passenger counts data pretty closely. I was kind of curious as whether you'd see people canceling flights. And you can't, when you look at the passenger count data, you can't tell if it's a visitor or a returning resident, right, that in that initial data. But we have it daily. And so far, through a couple days ago, I think through the 7th of August, we're at record levels for total passenger counts arriving in the state. Now, maybe that's because all of us traveled. You know, we all went to the mainland, we're all rushing home to get back for school in a storm. But there are positives here. You know, really, we're looking at a very strong July and August in the visitor sector, and assuming we don't have major disruption to hotels and airports, we think that the fall is going to be pretty strong as well.
That's a good reminder that we have good things going on. We tend to focus myopically on the negative stuff very often. It's just, as you've made the point in the early part of our conversation, you look at what is enough. What is enough to get us back to a place of robust economic health? If we can't have growth at exponential levels anymore, then what does it mean for us to have that kind of robust economy?
Well, and so, you know, we wouldn't want growth at the same kind of levels that we saw in 2005 and 2006. I mean, that was essentially a bubble. You know, what happens when you have bubbles is they burst, and you know, the decline is painful and can be prolonged. And so, you know, assuming that things sort of work out the way we think they are, and we don't get hit by big declines in federal government spending or, you know, other major disruptions, you know, you could think of our economy as being reasonably healthy over the next couple of years, in the sense that you have that broad-based, moderate, maybe modest growth, but it begins to, you know, affect people's living standards and improve those, and you don't get real imbalances.
And some would say that might be preferable.
Oh, sure. I mean, we might prefer 50, you know, half of 1% or 2% more growth over a long period of time, but I think of, you know, not having huge swings and bubbles and disperse is preferable.
How about a federal dollar bubble bursting for us? I mean, there was such concern we talked about this over the last couple of years, not having Senator Inouye there, not having seniority, not bringing a lot of bacon home to Hawaii in the way that it used to be.
Well, and I mean, that's gone. And you know, that's part of, well, they are adjusting for sure. And that's part of where we are. And it's not just the absence of the senator, but it's the entire atmosphere in D.C. You know, even things would have been better if things would be better right now if the senator were still alive. But he still would have been faced with
limited dollars,
an atmosphere in D.C. that was, poisonous to federal government spending. We think that atmosphere has improved, and it has, partly just because it's an election year. But the deficit situation has improved rapidly, and there's no particular reason to see large cuts going forward from a policy perspective. That doesn't mean they won't happen, right? People don't always make good policy. And so, we are still at risk of some losses, whether it's in military or general federal spending.
All right, we're going to leave it there for the moment. Thanks very much, as always, for coming in.
Thank you.
Carl Bonham was a founding member of UHERO in 1997 and currently serves as its executive director. He's also professor of economics. His research includes macroeconomics, applied econometrics and forecasting, tourism economics, and the Hawaii economy.